Blog Talk Radio.
House of Harley. Talk Radio.
House of Harley Talk Radio, baby, what's going on? This is your boy, Shay Harley. I am live in somebody's house. We are in locations in a house. It's not my studio, but we're going to make it work anyway. But anyway, this house, it is filled with a lot of talented people, a lot of very important people that's going to be putting on a conference for the next couple of days, starting tomorrow and Friday, but we'll talk about that. But guess what, y'all? They done got another one. They done got another one of us. And we're going to be talking about that. Call us with your what you want to talk about. What's going on in Charleston with the police officer that killed Walter Scott. And call us and voice your opinion. Call us at 347-884-9373. Hit us up on Twitter at HOH Talk Radio. House of Harley Talk Radio. Let's go.
Came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise. Guns out aiming at me, but I become Neo when they aiming at me. Me against them, me against enemies, me against friends. Somehow they both seem to become one. A sea full of sharks and they all smell blood. They start coming and I start rising. Must be surprising, I'm just surmising. I win, thrive, soar, higher, 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 more, fire.
House of Harley Talk Radio, y'all. We are back. We are live on air. And if, like I said, if you want to call us, 347-884-9373. Tonight's show, we're going to be talking about finding hope in the struggle. Most of the show, we're going to be talking about the 2015 conference that will be held April 9th and 10th here in Columbia, South Carolina. The conference will introduce concepts, resources, strategy services that will improve families' ability to have success. But first, we're going to talk about what's going on in Charleston, South Carolina. As you all know, that we are based out of Columbia, South Carolina. And just to go back a little bit, we all know that if you've been watching the news lately, that there was another unarmed black man that was killed, basically murdered by a cop. And this happened over the Easter weekend. And it, once again, it opens up the constant wounds that we have over the past couple of years. And, you know, not that police brutality and police murdering young black men has been, is brand new. This has been going on for years. But, you know, now that we have such a social media society and, you know, video cameras and more ways of getting information out in a quick way, you know, a lot of things are being broadcasted and put on blast in a lot faster than it used to be. So now basically what has happened in Charleston, South Carolina, just like in Missouri, a 50-year-old man by the name of, Walter Scott was murdered by a white officer, Michael T. Slager. And a lot of, you know, it is, like I said, basically opening that womb that we've had in the past few situations with Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Mike Brown, and you can keep naming them. Now we have Mr. Scott that was killed by a police officer. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to be getting our viewpoints about that as well. So I'm going to just start introducing folks. I got an audience. I got seven people up in this joint. We have Jazzmatic. Jazz, what's going on, girl?
Hello. How are you guys doing out there?
Doing all right.
Doing good.
And we got Mel. This is the first time Mel has been, like, in my presence. She's not doing the Timberland routine on the phone, you know, and she's finally here. And I could look at her, I could touch her, and I could kick her. You know, she talked too much. But anyway, what's going on?
You kick me, it's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Whatever.
Good evening, beautiful folks. It's so good to be here.
You ready to go tonight?
Ready to go, bruh. You know
okay.
me.
Yeah, let's go. And we have Arisha Frierson. She is like one of our new members that's going to be going along with us with all the events that we have going on. She keeps calling herself the redheaded stepchild, but she needs to stop that mess. What's going on?
Hey, what's up? Hey, everybody out there in HOH land. This is Arisha Frierson. I'm so excited to be here with you this evening and also excited to be talking about a topic such as this. This man being shot in Charleston, South Carolina. It's atrocious. It's awful. What's up with that?
Yeah, they're getting us. They're taking us out one by one. And one of our special guests that's going to be on the show, we're going to have Ms. Kwan Finch. She's going to be, she is the one that is over the Finding Hope in the Struggle conference that's going to be here in Columbia, South Carolina. How you doing?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we're all going to just talk about what's going on in Charleston, and then we're going to go in and talk about what you guys have going on. Is that good? Everything?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Okay, good. So once again, if you want to call House of Harley Talk Radio, call us at 347-884-9373. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, it's at HOH Talk Radio. If you want to email us, you can hit us up at House of Harley Talk Radio at gmail.com. Once again, House of Harley Talk Radio is sponsored by Lady Susie Q Fashions. If you want to get rid of that polyester suit or that dress, that white stock
white shoes, usher dress that you wear to church every day. You know, go to Lady Susie Q Fashions and pick you up that old church hat that turns into an instrument. You got one of those hats, Belle?
Yes, I wore it last week on Easter.
Yeah, well, I ain't seen not near one picture. You know, I didn't know it's a lot of pictures of Easter on Facebook.
Seriously? My timeline was flooded. I didn't know people had to make church. You don't see the kids do Easter Sunday.
No, the thing I saw were people with those huge hats that could fit like five people sitting in the pew. You can hear the pastor and the crowd, but you can't
see. That was my mom. I had to... Mom, I love you, but you know that hat was way too big.
That's why you have to sit in the front. You got to get there early so you can sit in the front and see everything.
Girl, we need to have, y'all need to have a show about my team.
Oh, hey, I'm ready.
That's another show.
Let me ask you real quick before we get to talk about what's going on in Charleston. Do you dress up for church or no? You don't. You're not into that.
I do not.
Wow.
So, praise them, yes.
So you show up in. So a show of hands, how many people do not dress up for church?
Typically, no.
What do you consider dress up?
You know, dress like a dress.
I mean, because I dress casual, but I don't wear jeans.
You don't wear jeans. We wear slacks, or you wear a dress.
Skirt and
a top. Okay, all right. That's what I mean by dress. Like Mel will go just like that in a jumpsuit.
I wouldn't wear this.
Whatever.
This is my lounge wear.
Y'all should see what she has on. It is. Yeah, she would wear that. I'm cute though.
Like I said, I always had a problem with like women specifically, like when they wear, and I'm filled with women, and I am so outnumbered. Well, I got the boys over here. But when women wear tight stuff to church and they start shouting and everything starts flying everywhere, just, you know. And don't expect nobody to be looking. Yes, I'm looking. Yeah, it's a problem. You know, come on. See, somebody agrees with me. That's what I like. But anyway, we're going to get on to the show. So, Mel... Since we've been talking about this all day, what are your views about what's going on in Charleston?
I think it's egregious. I think it's just disgusting. I think that this is just another example of what's been happening. And I was discussing it with a friend earlier today, and I said, you know what? I wonder if we could really know. Probably how many men, unarmed men, have been shot since this guy. Because, I mean, it's not, absolutely not the first, and I'm sure not the last. But it's just, when you look at his stance, and you look at his demeanor, and you just see, he didn't try to de-escalate the situation at all. He didn't say stop. He didn't say freeze. He didn't say lift your hand. He didn't even attempt to run after this guy. He did nothing. He literally pulled out his gun and just completely emptied a clip in this dude. Who does that?
Not just one time.
After it was over, he looked like he was in line at Starbucks. Yeah, he looked like he was waiting on his what they call a tall one.
What's that?
The
venti.
That's what he was waiting on. But yeah, I mean, it was nothing. There's just nothing. I mean, I've seen people who've had to kill. And they are absolutely torn up with guilt, even though it was their life against another person's life. This guy, and to add insult to injury, a friend of mine, because you know I'm from the Charleston area, shared with me that this same cop, in another incident with her friend, pulled her friend over in her driveway, got out, pulled a gun on her.
Wow.
And the girl's mother ran out of the house screaming. And that sort of is what de-escalated the situation. So her friend's kind of freaked out now, thinking, had her mom not been in the house.
Well, that same officer has been written up twice. There were two instances where he got written up. One was earlier this year in January. And he they never discussed what was done to reprimand him for that incident. He's already been having a problem. It's already been reported. It's recorded.
So now you're talking about he's already been written up before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did he place at the crime scene? He has been seen dropping a dark object at the crime scene.
And when I was listening to the news, that might have been the taser, because the guy who recorded it came out today,
mm-hmm.
and there was an eyewitness. He's been in hiding because he thought that his life was in jeopardy. Let's see what his name was.
What?
He was on the nightly news. His last name is Santana. Feden Santana. And he said he started recording when he heard the taser was deployed, and that's when he started recording everything. And think about this. Y'all talk about this. What do you think would have happened had there not been a video of the incident? Because when the officer reported the incident, he did not say that he shot 8 times, or he said that the man attacked him in the vehicle. That was the first story. So what would have happened had there not been a video? And obviously they didn't know that he was recording, because if you look at it, they don't even look back at the young man who was recording. They had no idea they were being recorded. What would have happened had there not been a recording?
It would have been like just a running joke that Dave Chappelle always sprinkled some crack on. It would have been just another cover up. That definitely would have happened.
But it's not a cover up.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It almost sounds like when old boy in Missouri was like bow. Then it went bow 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 bow.
Guy was discombobulated.
He had just knocked his head
and yeah.
car accident,
took
his car, and
boom, what does he get?
And ended up admitting that she wasn't even.
No, I'm not talking about her. There were two workers on the other side of the street. They were they were electricians that said the same thing, that there was a small struggle.
Did you see Darren Wilson's video? I mean, did his photos immediately
follow? With his rosy cheeks.
This deadly struggle. This man didn't have a scratch.
He had rosy cheeks. He was blushing. That's what that was. Yeah. Eyes just blue as they want to be. Blue and clear.
Who was justifying Mike Brown being gunned down because he stole some cigars are now standing behind the police officer saying murder is too much of a charge, being that this is a quote-unquote first offense. So you're telling me cold-blooded murder should be okay, but cigars should be punishable by death in the street in front of your... Seriously?
Yeah.
No, not only that. I think there was an incident of an older Caucasian white man, and he was a little crazy, and he was holding a gun at the officer,
45
and
minutes.
They surrounded him and tried to coax the gun from him.
How long? 45 minutes?
45 minutes.
And then he pointed the gun at them, at the cameraman, and he pointed the gun at other people that were in the park.
And was he shot?
He was eventually shot, but he was taken after 45 minutes.
Yep.
He was taken in, and here's what they said when they asked him, well, you know, you have other people who were shot in Linda. They said, you have to consider the wind.
Justifying.
That's what they said. Did he consider the wind? Because,
no.
I mean, them shots were kind of point. Like, you really, I mean, that's the thing is that can be an open carry state. Tamir Rice, living in an open carry state, playing with a toy gun, this guy, in less than a second and a half, gets out of his car and immediately discharges.
Not ask one question. Didn't say put it down, nothing.
In his police report, he reported that he asked him to put the weapon down three times, and that after the third time, he reached in his waist. So, first of all, it was a lie, but number two, it's a lie that didn't even make sense to people. Boss, if you see the gun, why are you worrying about him reaching in the waistband if he already got a gun?
Right.
If you tell him to drop his gun, what else did he have in the waistband? A second gun?
It's like with that situation, it's like he didn't even see him coming. It's like he pulled up in like within 3 seconds, he gunned him down.
But that
didn't say nothing.
The guy had been moved, fired actually from another police force.
Mm-hmm.
They said that he was unstable because he had actually been stalking an ex-girlfriend for years, and that the police chief of the former precinct didn't feel like he was stable enough to handle a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
They fired him.
Right.
And he ends up here, and it's like a perfect storm where he just ended up killing a 12-year-old boy. And, of course, it's justifiable.
Yeah. Well,
you know what? There was also on CNN last night when I saw the Walter Scott situation. They showed three other cases of black men being killed or shot at, you know, unarmed. And then they tried to turn around and show you a case where there was a Caucasian guy who was struggling with, well, he was
struggling with the cops.
Struggling with the cops. That's right. He was struggling. He was with the cop, and he pulled out the cop's gun and shot him and killed him.
Mm.
And then they tried to justify it. That's why we kill people. You know, so they trying to justify why they killed us.
Jesus.
But they gonna use us. Why show us a case with a Caucasian guy? Why do they do that?
And then if you want to go a little deeper, because this is something I don't understand. I saw a report. I believe the FBI does a report every couple of years where it shows the amount of white people shot, the amount of black people shot, Latinos, Asians, whatever. Now, the amount of white people that have been shot and killed by police is double
the amount of black people. The amount of white people that have been arrested is double the amount of black people. If that's the case, according to those statistics, then why are our jails, I know this is going off, but why are our jails filled with so many more black men?
It's simple, boo.
Money, 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 money.
Yep.
Slavery, slavery. Yeah.
That's what it is. And I implore. No, it's physical slavery. I implore everybody. A PBS special is called Slavery by. Sorry. Slavery so called ended. And people think that slavery ended after 1865. That's not the case. Slavery wasn't actually abolished until 1908 under Teddy Roosevelt. It actually transformed into something called peonage. And then now it seems like it's transformed into something called the prison system. You know, so slavery has never really been abolished. It's only changed its face.
You're right.
Because like the KKK is still here.
So person for prison, what are they doing? They're working. Right. They're creating things. Creating furniture. Creating parts for your car. Labor.
No, for nothing.
For nothing.
I know somebody who actually worked on the chain gang in 2012. No lie, a chain gang.
He said that a certain soda company donates, like, you know, whenever these big companies make sodas and food and stuff, they actually, the bad batches, they bring them to the prison. So the stuff that they don't think is good enough to sell or, you know, for consumption, stuff is going to be recalled, whatever.
They feed it to the prisoners. So essentially, they feed the prisoners garbage.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's not to say that crime is okay. Crime is not okay. Nobody is saying that. Every time we discuss these things, people are like, well, you guys are taking up criminals. I don't want no criminal in my neighborhood, in my house, no more than you do.
But being hard on crime does not mean that innocent men and women should be jailed or killed.
Well, it's like it's become like just like old Wild Wild West, like judge, jury, and executioner, all in one place. It's like, bump, okay, you got, what was his issue, child support?
What happened?
Right. Yeah.
I don't get that.
Mm-hmm. So if they kill me right, I guess it's going to be, well, he had about $500 in parking tickets. You know, it's always going to be something that they get you. What do you got? Is your record clean? I mean, I know I got about, I better shut up, but okay, I just told on myself, all right, Columbia, please leave me alone. I got 2 kids. But anyway, you know, it's.
Speaking of kids.
Yeah.
Baby, and you know what? The first thing I thought about is, and when men do this, and I always think about it, when police officers, men, whatever, when they do this, I always think about their wives.
Mm-hmm.
My heart goes out to their wives. And I think, you don't know you married the evil. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
talking about the cop, right?
Yeah. Like, or perhaps she's evil too. I don't know. But it's just like, I look at my husband, and if my husband was to hit somebody, okay, I ain't even gonna question what. I know for a fact that he was in one situation where he was left without a choice. Because I know his heart. I know he would never do it. But to have somebody who day after day is probably looking for a situation and probably sits there with other people amongst his peers, you know, even talking about the day and sort of almost willing it to them that they're able to release a clip in somebody. Most of these gun lovers, they're just waiting for the day that they can discharge their weapon or something.
Yeah, exactly.
See what you just said? The wife might know. She might know that he's evil, and she could be evil right along with him,
and they owe their thing for children to be evil, and they're teaching their children for more hatred to the world. That's what's happening. It's awful.
Yeah. It definitely is. It's like, I don't know. we were talking about, you know, strategizing and coming up with a solution about all of this that's going on. And before we talk about, like, solutions and strategies about what we need to do, we were discussing this earlier about one thing that's been in common, like the key word that kind of makes you raise your eyebrows and kind of like make your ears go up is the fact that they use this phrase that every time they kill and murder someone that's unarmed, it's a key phrase. I want everybody out there in America to really listen to this key phrase. Every time they kill an unarmed black man, it's, "I feared for my life. I feared for my life. Everything's I feared for my life." So that justifies them pulling out the gun and unloading a whole entire clip into the back of a black man.
Okay, I have to chime in on this one. Okay. As far as "I feared for my life," white men have feared for their lives since they brought black men over here. That's no longer an excuse. And though it's said, I'm listening to you all, and I'm trying to keep my emotions down. You know, you can get real hyped.
Say what you got. Hey, this is the time to do it.
As a mother of two young black men, and as a Christian, it's a struggle on the inside. Mm-hmm. Because I've raised my children. I've had to talk. Don't run. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. You know, I've had that talk. Should I have had to? No. But I did, and I remind them. And I had an honest fear, because while my oldest son is a soldier and obedient and, you know, real calm, my baby boy is creative, artistic, gonna express himself, and he's the one I fear for, because he will say, and he's very respectful, but he doesn't want to be heard. So without taking that confidence away from him, it's a challenge to make sure he knows how to handle himself in that situation. Right now he's 16 and hasn't been faced with it, but as a mother, that's a fear that I have. That day is going to come. Unfortunately, that day is going to come. And as a Christian, and I thank God for the blood of Jesus, because basically,
amen,
that's where we have to put our children. You know, if I don't say anything else, we have to trust God at the end of it all, because just like we have fears now and we see it, it's blatant and nothing is being done, and our brothers and our fathers and grandfathers were being lynched back in the 50s and in the 60s, that was the same thing mothers and wives had to do then. And apparently it worked, because we still have we lost a lot of strong black people. But I do believe that the time is coming with social media, with the word getting out, that even if it doesn't change the mindset, it's going to have to slow down, because I don't care how bad of people you think they are, they don't want to go to jail. They don't want to go to prison. And by this example, in Charleston, you know, it doesn't take care of the thousands that are happening every month. But it's going to make some officers think twice. It's going to save some son's life. And I'm saying this, too, because I choose to see the light in all of this. Yes, he was a sacrifice. We don't want to lose any more of our sons. I don't want to lose my son. I might have to hurt somebody, and then I'll be making auto parts and, you know, nice furniture and good stuff if any of my babies get touched. Put that out there. But I do think still for our boys and our young men who are still here, we have to teach them, but we can't raise them to be afraid. How you do that? God will have to lead you.
Well, there was a couple points that you made. It's like, what you said is like, and I have a son and a daughter.
Yeah.
Two sons. And so it's like, when we're telling them these things, you know, be mannerable, respect the police, you know, they will do what they tell you to do. It's like it's getting to the point, it doesn't matter what you do. You know, and your husband, he's a big guy. I'm a big guy. Automatically. And your son, even though he's a bony little fella, he's a threat. Simply because he's like probably like 5'11", right? He's like 5'11". So he's a little skinny guy, but still, he's a threat. And it's like, it's not going to matter what you say or what you do with these cops. They're all going to see me as a threat. They're just going to shoot me. They'll be like, give me your license. Bang. You know, they ain't going to give me a chance. I'm be like, didn't you just tell me to give me your my license? Just like the guy in Columbia. He was like, man, what'd you do? What did I do? Why'd you shoot me? Yeah, he told me to give him a license. He's like, you went and dove into the truck. I was getting my license. It's like, what do you do? So it's like earlier we were talking about solutions. What are solutions? How are we going to get cops to stop having this attitude of that they could just take out a young unarmed black man?
But the thing is that we need to first understand the purpose of
Hey Mel, let's get this young man right here. I know where you're going. We have a youth here. We have a young man by the name of David, and he is just like so waiting. He's like waiting to get the mic, so he really must have something to say. And I'm just giving him the mic, and the mic is yours. Go for it.
As you were saying about children, I was in church one day. My pastor said, you have to shift to move forward, to reach your dreams. Also, I learned that you have to give your children allowance so they can know how to, to save and also keep up with your money.
So, that was really great, but how do you feel about cops? I know he bought his money, but we got to get him to say what he feel like. And he just rolled out. Where are you going? Oh, somebody else coming in. So how do you feel about what's going on with officers killing unarmed black men, you know, considering how old are you? You're 10 and a half. You're 10? Dang. yeah, I know, right? He's a threat. My son's a threat because he's like 150 pounds and he's 9. Yeah, so, but how do you feel about what's going on with police officers killing unarmed young black men?
I think it's not even really right. My uncle got tased for no reason. Sometimes when he was trying, they said, give him the ID. So he reached in his back pocket to give him the ID, and they just tased him right there in his hand for no reason. That's what I do not understand. Why did you do that? So many polices, you do all these questions for a reason. You have to give us black people a chance to do things. It's not fair.
That's right. Amen. From the mouth of babes. there you have it.
Society as a whole, well, you know, they think that it's okay now that, you know, this incident happened. They've charged this police officer with murder. I know you're going to have something to say about that, Melody. I saw a city councilwoman from Charleston, South Carolina, said, we've charged this man with murder. We don't understand why people are trying to push this situation up and get people mad. You know, the people of Charleston are satisfied with this man being charged, with the police officer being charged with murder. So I just ask, you know, to stop trying to push this up like it's a situation. The city councilwoman said that on CNN News last night.
Yes, that alone tells me that alone tells us what we're facing. That type of ignorance. Somebody get her name and make sure on April. What day is North Charleston got a local election coming up? And you make sure that y'all are at polls. And I think, is it this month or next month? Because they have some local elections coming up. And I don't know if it's North Charleston, the city of Charleston, but they need to really do this. But back to what I was saying, the
solutions.
Supreme Court changed the initial purpose of the police from other pieces no longer to quote unquote protect each other. What they dropped around inside of their car is a lie. Their purpose is to enforce laws. That's first and foremost. You're sort of second or third theory, whatever you want to call it. And another thing is people were saying, well, this guy, this cop, what he did wasn't evil, it was just a bad choice.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, a bad choice.
Okay.
A bad choice.
Yes.
This is evil. It's evil. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
I think you need to put those two words together. It's evil racism. That's what I call it.
Maybe not to this degree, but there are also white men who are now being killed by police. Choked out by police.
Well, that's the thing, Mel, because it's like you mentioned that white men are getting it too. It's going to take what it's going to take for change to actually happen. It's going to have to take some popular, somewhat maybe local popular white person to get slain and killed. And then that's when laws are going to come in. That's when the laws are going to change. That's when all the police training is going to change and improve. And all, it's going to change all of that. We're expendable. We can get shot, killed. Nothing's going to happen. Like you said, rallies, they're not going to work. We can rally. Rallies alone is not going to work because, like I gave an example on the show multiple times, that when we announce we're going to have a rally, right, when we do it on a Saturday, well, guess what? There ain't nobody at the state house on Saturday. They in Florida fishing or something on a vacation, mini vacation. They're coming back to work on Monday. Those rallies need to happen on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We need to be up in the state house instead of outside. We need to be bothering people, writing letters, forcing them, and also, and I keep saying this, but I don't know when we're going to get it. There's an election coming up. How many of us are going to vote?
But elections, that's too late. By the time the election is coming up, it is too late. By the time the candidates are selected, it is too late. We need to decide who is going to be on the ballot.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. Showing up after they've chosen between...
True. I agree. Mm-hmm.
It's not what...
Yeah.
And guess what? Them folks on Capitol Hill don't
work. Nope.
They work for GM. They work for Walmart. They're lobbyists. That's what they're doing. They're working for the big pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. For Duke Energy, like me. But seriously, like, you know, that's what they're... Well, I should say the energy companies, not Duke Energy, but the energy... But they do. These folks are the ones that they're working for. Yeah, they sit there and they tell us all this stuff. Oh, I'm different. Oh, all the people in Capitol Hill are wrong. I'm right. You do this and da 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 da. Then they get there, and 2 weeks later, they're millionaires. And
right.
All of a sudden, their voting strategy changes. What needs to happen is that, number one, we need to decide on who is going to make these laws. The first law that needs to be overturned are laws that were made back in the early 1900s that specifically, blatantly excluded minorities.
Mm-hmm.
That they literally said these laws are made not to protect the black man. Because remember, we weren't considered human.
But yeah.
Who's going to do that? Because we as a community, and I'm talking about the black community, we do not come together.
That's
so when you're
talking
about
going forward.
I hear what you're saying, but who is the we? You say we need to decide who gets on the ballot. Who is that we? Because if we can't come together as a community,
we are
then
the
how
citizens
can we do
of
that?
The United States, period. We are the people who are talking right now.
We are the people who are listening. We are all the people who are blogging about this. We are all the people who said, well, I'm tired and I got tears and this makes me mad and I don't like this and this guy should be charged with murder. That's who the we's are. We's are the citizens of this nation. And we have to stop doing it. And I think it is so freaking ironic. If you went to a boxing match and it was one against 99, everybody would put their money on the 99. But every single time, the one wins. It's because the 99 are distracted and we are fighting each other about what color our skin is and who has the biggest house and just what religion are you or what gender are you and what political party are you. Or
talk
do you somebody of the same sex or not? Or do you are you homosexual, heterosexual? That's what's happening. That's why the 99 is getting knocked out every single time. We have the power to unite and actually make changes. But as long as they're keeping us mentally, as long as we're choosing to be mentally enslaved, that's what's going to happen.
This is
the bottom line.
This is go back for a second. Go back to where we were talking about a couple of Caucasian people that get killed because of. Okay, I think they're sacrificing. That's just me personally. What I think is, you have to kill a couple of them to make it look like
the number is double.
But what I'm saying is,
that's been killed.
But what we're seeing now these days, but see now what we're seeing these days is so many of us getting killed. So what I'm thinking is, the Caucasian people that are getting killed that we see, those are sacrificed. Because to me, it's like, see, it's not only black people.
Comment on the increase in the number of Caucasians.
immediately when you said it, what came to mind is because economically things changed, and you had more Cajuns fall under the poverty level. So aside from color, you're looking at quote-unquote white trash. They don't value them either. So now you do have more being shot because no longer are they middle class. Now you're white trash, so you're not doing anything for this community. I'm going to shoot you too. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like those numbers doubled, and, you know, I don't know the statistics. I haven't looked at them, but it's quite possible that at the time the economy turned would be the time that those numbers rose. You know, and that's just my opinion. No. I mean, with the increase in those numbers, you could probably date that back to when the economic level turned, because it changed society, you know, and economically about the time when the housing market, 07,
yes.
When did they do the statistics?
Housing crash was 07.
Ended 2012. Okay. Yeah, and I mean that's just my opinion. And then something that I've shared, and just another aspect, because it crossed my mind this morning. I have a friend who is white but has two black sons from her husband, who they're no longer together. And there was a strip that came through on Facebook that was having a conversation, a black man having a conversation with his son. That we all have, and I thought about it, it wouldn't have crossed her mind to have this conversation with her boy. So I shared the comic strip with her, and immediately she was like, yeah, she said, it's sad, it's like that. And she said, but I just hate that they turn everything to race. And immediately I was like, oh my God, you are raising two black boys. This
yeah.
should not be your mindset.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but I couldn't get mad and, you know, go off on her because she doesn't know. So that's a whole generation, a whole segment of young black men who are a threat but are unlearned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so where do you get the information to them?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that contributes to, will it stop, and how is it gonna stop, you know?
I don't think it's gonna stop unless Here's my deal, and I've been talking about this for the past 2 years. It's not going to stop unless it hits the source. And what is the source? Money. If their bank accounts, or the threat of them going to jail. I think that if you shoot and kill somebody, whether you're a police officer or not, you should be automatically put in jail. Put them in jail. Just put them straight in jail. If I'm a police officer, and whoever the chief is comes to us and says, and has a meeting and says, look, you guys go out there, you shoot somebody, I'm gonna lock you up. It's like with kids, it's like you get locked up and put in jail, I'm leaving you there. I never got in trouble. My dad said, my mom and dad said, get locked up. I will leave you right there. And that carried me throughout my teenage years, through my 20s, and now I'm in my 30s.
There are, I have two police officer friends who've been shot. Thank God they didn't die. But, like, one of them literally just got shot. Like, nothing was going on. You know, he could have died. He has children, wife, everything else. So, to say that sort of undermines the cops when they actually have. I think the thing about it is, and it's something.
They got to think twice, though. No.
When a life is gone.
Yeah, no,
especially unarmed.
I'm not saying there should not be a consequence. What I'm saying is, first of all, shoot first and talk later should be taken off the table.
Yeah.
Before, they used to have a thing called a continuum, where they would actually start from the bottom and then they would, like, escalate depending on the situation, depending on the threat and so forth. They have completely removed the continuum.
Right.
And first and foremost, they shoot. And not only are they shooting to injure, they're shooting to kill.
Yeah.
The thing is, two to the chest and one to the head. That's what they do. They are trained to do that, just like a pit bull. If you train a pit bull, hey, when you see another pit bull, you attack. This pit bull is not going to be like, is this other pit bull a threat or not? Let me just, it's not going to happen that way. These guys are training that way. What needs to happen is training is going to have to change. First of all, laws are going to have to change, which means that current lawmakers are going to have to change, and then training can change and it can trickle down, unless the system just really ain't broken. The system's working exactly
okay,
the way
so
they want it.
What's the deal with the kill shot? Like, you know, like, can they stop doing the kill shot? Can officers have cameras on them? I know some places they're trying to do this, but they need to do it nationwide. It can't be some places and others like, well, we don't have cameras. We can go ahead and continue
those
to kill
cameras,
them.
The guy who ended up shooting two people, he had the body camera, right? He had the body camera, and both times it malfunctioned right before he discharged.
Right. Yeah.
It malfunctioned.
Like, hold on.
What is he? Yeah. He had the off button. But that is a button where you can actually turn it on and off yourself.
Wow.
They don't need to have it like that. Well, at least you have a camera on you.
If, okay, you're over there going to hit the camera or something like that and it just malfunctioned all of a sudden, then at least you know something went wrong, you know, or right before he killed someone. But they shouldn't even have a camera like that. Have a camera where maybe the station can turn it off,
not the individual itself.
Not the station. Oh, no, that's worse.
I'm just saying, the individual itself cannot be able to turn off that camera.
I really wish that IA, yeah. Internal Affairs, would take over that. Internal Affairs is actually, to me, I used to have faith in them. I don't have as much.
I don't have faith in them because they don't do nothing.
But some of them do.
Some
it
do.
It depends on where you are, and it depends who's in there.
Right.
Because if you got somebody where their daddy is a cop, their brother is a cop, their mama is a cop, their wife is a cop, their daughter is a cop, their grandkids are a cop,
you know what I'm saying? You probably not want to get too fair and balanced from them.
Right.
Is that an independent firm should be the only one who can operate those body cameras.
And just like what we do now, we're saying the instantly uploaded to the cloud.
Right.
So this information cannot be tampered
with. Tamper with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I think there needs to be something as far as like a separate independent entity that maybe does like, maybe shadows the cop, a random cop or something. Like, drive around with him, kind of just talk to him, get in his head, see how he's kind of acting while he's on, you know, sit in the back seat and just don't say nothing. Just observe. They won't know. They'll just show up and they're sitting in their car. Hey, how you doing? I'm riding with you today. You know, and then it's like, oh, crap. And if they just happen to be having a bad day, like Officer Wilson, he may have been having a bad day. He may have been pissed off. Excuse my language. And by the way, you know, got kids in the place, but anyway. But maybe have somebody to, like, shadow these cops to maybe possibly catch them before they do something crazy. Like, maybe they could go and report to the chief and, like, chief, I noticed something about Officer Scott. You know, he's kind of acting a little funny, you know, something. Maybe not even maybe watching them from a bar or something. Just something to kind of catch them before they get to the point. Because these guys are riding around right now on edge. They're getting divorced from their wives. The girl done cheated on them. They owe child support. You name it. You know, low pay.
Domestic abuse within the police force is extremely high.
Yeah. It's almost like the military.
Yeah. It's
so. Kind of like just check out their home life. I'm like if you're gonna be a cop, you should be under so much of a big microphone, magnifying glass, till you just uncomfortable, just do something wrong. And I'll just keep it real like that. And also, and I gotta say it, and I just hope that every police officer out in America listening, just like Suge Knight said, if you don't want to be dead around the videos, you don't. You don't want to be rapping and people singing in your videos. Come to death row. My message to all these police officers out here that's on edge. If you are fearful of your job, if you get in your car and the first thing you're thinking about is fear, and you're scared, go work at Krispy Kreme or something, man. Go work at Taco Bell where you're not fearful. When I go to my job, I don't feel anything. You feel fearful when you go to a job? Does anybody else feel fearful? We may not get paid all the kind of money that we want, but I'm fine. I'm not expecting somebody to shoot me. So it's just like the military. When you go into the military, you are expecting, you go in a war zone, you're expecting that you're going to get shot. You're expecting it. So you're on watch. You're ready to go. It's almost like police force. You just need to be prepared. Stop being so trigger happy. I mean, if you're that fearful, and the first thing out of your mouth, I was fearful of my life. He was an unarmed 50-year-old man
with
his back turned. He runs as slow as Tom Brady. I mean, golly, it was like he was running in slow motion.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you could have threw a pebble at him, and he'd be like, oh, God, oh, you got me. You know, and, you know, just to sit up there and have that excuse, I'm fearful of my life. That's just wrong. That's a cop out. If you feel like you're fearful of your life, go be a fry cook somewhere. Go work at a buffet line. Go work at a work at the desk or something.
Exactly.
Let the people that have a mind to go through their progressions before they start thinking about killing a cop. So that's that. So we want to get, I know we can talk about like for the next 2 hours. I know we don't have 2 hours, but we want to veer off and talk about Miss Gwan Fitch. You want to come around here? She is our, am I saying it right? Kwan Fitch. Does that mean anything? Okay.
Kwanzaa, but that ain't how they say that.
That's short for
like gallant. Oh, just like you got a big head. I do that because it makes it easier for other people to say Kwanzaa.
Is that so? Is it Kwanzaa all the way? Or just Kwan? Okay. Okay, that's cool. I know a Kwanzaa. I kept butchering his name. I kept calling him Kwanzaa. But anyway, you remember that? I just kept butchering that poor guy's name. We want to talk about the program that you have and get you to explain. You have a your conference that's coming up tomorrow, April
9th,
10th. Yeah. And it's called Finding Hope in the Struggle. So tell us about your conference that you're going to be having going on there.
Well, tomorrow is the conference. It's a two-day conference for women in transition. It's being held on Broad River at the First Choice Select Health Center over there by the Bilo, by St. Andrews Road. And basically, the conference is for people say, well, what do you mean by women in transition? I mean women who are transitioning, whether it be from divorce, economic issues, children issues, whatever the issues are, but you find yourself at a stage in your life where you need to make some choices and make some moves. So that's the population who have been invited. It is a free conference, and anyone who wants to come can come. We want you to register, though. And basically, the outline is I have five amazing panels of women and men who will be sharing from a variety of different ways. We have people representing education, going back to school, people representing mental and physical health.
Oh, you need it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
mental and physical health. We have people that will be sharing about your credit and actually home buying and some of the different programs that are available to folks. We also have one session that will be talking about entrepreneurship and employment and why and how you can start a business. But the premise of the whole, you know, program is about finding hope in the struggle. There are a lot of hurting people out there. So my goal was to put together something that is offering education, resources, and some just unique strategies where somebody will say, you know what, I didn't think about that.
You know, when you're in the midst of a crisis, you don't think about certain things. You don't think about how you're going to get out. And sometimes it's just something that somebody else says, or somebody will say, you know what, down the street, you know they have this particular program. And it might be just what you were looking for. So that's the goal. I want to kind of infuse a little creativity in women especially, so that we can kind of find our own hope and achieve our own goals.
Now, is this just specifically for women?
We will not turn men away. My agency that I had in Jersey was called My Sister's Keeper, and we serve lots of men.
Oh, really?
Okay. Absolutely.
That's
they
cool.
didn't have no problem coming in and getting them a plate or using my food pantry or whatever. So, yes, if there are men who are interested in coming, who think that the workshops or panels are going to speak to them, they are more than welcome. It is free. And I'm going to feed you.
Okay. What are you going to have? What kind of food are you going to have?
Just box. Turkey sandwiches.
Oh, okay. So you're going to have, like, steak and stuff
no,
like that.
No.
I might just show up.
Sponsorship.
Okay. So there was a mention, correct me if I'm wrong, there's going to be a skit that's going to be performed?
Well, that's my brand. Finding Hope in the Struggle is a part of the Empowerment Corp, and the Empowerment Corp has a production team. Basically, where it kind of started from is that my books are anthologies. My books, Confessions of a Welfare Mom, Confessions of a Domestic Violence Survivor, are compilations of women who share their stories. So because women share their stories, we kind of took the books and we went to the stage. So Finding Help in the Struggle premiered last year, where we actually had a stage production of women and men sharing scripted monologues. So we took the monologue show, now we're doing the conference. But because my brand is having the production team, we will have real, true, bona fide actors on the stage who will be doing a skit before the panel discussion. So it just makes it a little different from most conferences that you go to
yeah.
and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, you know, get a little physical. We're going to do some comedy, and we're really trying to kind of speak to every learning style. You know, when you want people to kind of receive information, if you give them a little something different, a lot of times a lot of that will stick.
So who are these lovely actresses that you're going to be having doing these skits? I'm putting y'all on blast.
God is good because
yeah.
this production team has definitely took a beating this time around. But I have been so blessed. My creative director, Sharika Washington, has been phenomenal with keeping us together with our script, keeping us together with the you know, understanding my vision and kind of putting it to paper and then helping the folks to kind of pull it together. And it's just been amazing. But between Sharika and Melody Bailey. A little bit.
I, you know what? Honestly, it's the Facebook thing. Because
yeah.
I see Bailey.
Yeah.
Bailey. I want to call her Bailey
when
I see her. Yeah, I know.
We
but it's like.
Melody.
It gets me tongue twisted. Like,
Melody.
Yeah.
Melody is going to be rocking the stage tomorrow. And Arisha. Arisha has just
joined
us.
Does that mean
us,
something, Arisha?
Let me tell you, she's just the ram in the bush, the angel that kind of showed up and said, use me. So, you know, we're really excited for that. And Monica Crumpler, she's coming in from Fayetteville. We're hoping that her dad is doing well so that she can get back on the road and be with
okay.
us tomorrow as well.
Are these young ladies? Are y'all?
Well, that's Sharika Washington, the creative director.
Oh, that's Sharika. Okay.
And then we have one of my panelists. Actually, she's going to be doing a keynote speech on Friday. Deanna Booker from the PERT Agency.
You're Deanna.
That's Deanna.
You sit over there incognito, sitting over there with her legs crossed.
Yes, yes,
we need to talk.
Yes.
With the Booker agency, yes.
Yes.
Hi, Deanna, how are you? How you, dirty? She sitting over there. She like this. I can't cross my legs. But she's sitting over there like, la-di-da-di-da. I see you over there.
Sharing on Friday, so it's gonna be a really awesome 2 days, and I'm just excited because I know that there are gonna be so many people who will get so much out of it. you know, and the panelists, because there a lot of them are local, after it's over, you'll be able to kind of, people will be able to kind of get back in touch with that person.
Okay.
That's you know, the whole purpose.
That's cool. So, Mel, how do you feel about, you know, being involved at the conference and everything?
Well, we had a great time the first time.
We ate a lot, and then we ate some more.
And we just had a lot of fun. It was a really big group. We're a lot smaller group for this particular show. But I'm ecstatic about it. You know, these are things that we are passionate about already. And I'm just grateful that Kawan trusts me with her baby.
It's nice to combine the two kids. You know, the social issue, the social activism, to put it with acting and kind of combine your gifts. That's really cool. Yeah. That's what I wanted to do.
What about you, Arisha?
Yeah, I'm just kind of coming on board, but I am ecstatic to be a part of this event. I actually saw the production. I was there.
I didn't know you were there.
I sure was.
That's so cool.
I sold her ticket.
So,
yes, Colin.
I'm glad to be a part of.
Nice. That's pretty cool. That is pretty, pretty cool.
That's cool. Anytime you have these two, you know.
I know. It's going to be fun.
That's like a left.
You know, for some reason, I just wasn't worried about it. You know, we have Corey John was with us. And Corey started a new job, so he's not going to be able to be with us because it's during the day. So it was like, okay. So Monica and Bailey, they get us going to work it out together. And then some of his family stuff going on. But Arista was right there like, hey, I'm here. What you need? So, you know, I'm just grateful that we can, you know, and it's not like it's a whole play and script, you know, that's so much that you won't be able to really jump on it. And I'm sure you guys can ad-lib very well.
Europe!
We
done ad-lib whole thing.
And rock out.
Hold on. Deanna has something to say. I want to get her on the mic. Are you sure? Because we need to talk. We're trying to make moves. House of Harley Talk Radio. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Ken. Hello, Ken. He works at 911. He's saving lives as we speak. But, you know, we are making moves.
Well, Ken,
just got to let you know.
Tell us when they respond to calls. I'm sure about it.
Ken probably know. Ken, you know what? Ken probably knows like every officer that kills somebody. He has to hear it. I ain't gonna lie. Ken has the toughest job in America. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine going to work? What? What? One of them. Okay, it has to be one of them.
I think Ken don't work hotline.
Exactly.
So it's the same concept of being on the phone trying to talk to someone. And I remember working for Covenant House. And this is back in the mid-90s. And I had a young lady. She had to be around 21, 22. And, like, I could hear the gun click.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things that you will never, ever
know. And you got to go in every day and hear stuff like that. You don't know what you're going to get when you pick up that phone. You just don't know. At least at my job, I do IT work. I know somebody's calling about their cell phone or their email or server's down. I already know. I was like, but I'm not ever going to pick up the phone. I'm going to kill myself. I'm never going to get that phone call. I pray I never do.
I'll be sure to call you tomorrow.
All right, now. Do we need to call the prevention hotline? So hopefully that was like you acting, getting in character or something. Yeah. What's that?
Like when people call.
Oh, well, yeah, there's a couple people like listening. They're not really wanting to talk. But, yeah. Dave's a trip. He over here. He's like wanting to do everything. He want to control my board and all that other stuff. So. So I definitely got to give a shout out to Ken. A.K.A. my khaki brother.
Miss you, Ken. Miss you.
Yeah, so get back to us, man. We're waiting on you. So a lot of these subjects that you'll be talking about, are they, most of them, did you mention they come from like your book and everything? Are they like self experiences or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But the panelists are local folks. I mean, Centura, Allen University, Dr. Markeisha Miller, who does a lot of work with domestic violence and has her own psychotherapy practice. She also teaches at South. I also have a family nurse practitioner. Oh, Healthy Columbia will be there doing medical screenings, vision for diabetes screening, that kind of thing.
How about your sponsors? Do you want to give a shout-out to your sponsors?
Ventura has been awesome, and First Choice Select Health has been amazing. We also have some, I call them vendor sponsors, because what I did was vendors come in trying to sell my people stuff. Because that wasn't the whole purpose. You know, we don't want people coming and spending their money on Taco Bell. So I had some folks who are in businesses that are recruiting and looking for other business partners or to share their particular business. So they paid as sponsors to be a part of it. And we have It Works coming. We have Unique Cosmetics coming. We have Legal Shield will be there. And we also have a life coach who works particularly with women, who will be there sharing about what she does. And Garden City Prep will be there to share about the school.
Kevin Raspberry.
Yes, he's actually on one of the panels talking about parenting and stress. We'll have information about the school. One of my boys actually goes to the school.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited because, the whole point is to share resources and why not share a resource that I think is awesome and amazing for our young men?
Exactly. So, just one more thing before we get off. As far as like child abuse prevention and like the title, Lord, keep these kids from getting on my last nerves. Like, what is that all about?
But we have folks who will be sharing, coming from different ways. We have a mom who had a child with disabilities. We have someone who actually is a paraprofessional and working with families in terms of therapy. We have Mr. Raspberry, who will be talking especially to single moms raising male children. And we also have someone who's a parent of 7 children.
Wow.
Who will be on that panel talking about
7
stress and child abuse.
Yeah, stress, you're going to have stress with 7 kids.
Yeah.
I got 2 and I want to jump out the window.
Listen, if you can do it, and do it with grace, go for it, And I've seen the kids, I've seen the home, and I cannot understand how she does it.
I tie them up after 3. I ain't going to lie. I burn them things. Whatever you got to take is not me. I got twins. I put out twins, so. Yes. Yes. So the next group might be triplets or something, so. 7. Lord.
I mean, it's really going to be a very interesting dialogue, and I'm hoping that it'll be more of a conversation that will happen around the different topics. And we're just
going to
share and grow and learn some stuff.
Okay, that's what's up. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for telling me about your conference. And hope I wanted to be there, but I got to work that 9 to 5, keep that roof over my head. So, we're working on that right now. So, the Centura and whatever, if you want to sponsor House of Harley, let me know. So I ain't trying to take your sponsors. But anyway. But definitely thank you for coming on the show, and good luck for your conference for tomorrow and Friday. And
I'm excited for it. Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity.
No problem. If you want to tag me in the pictures or anything, feel free. Now, as far as your books, whatever you have, how can people get out and purchase them?
You can find my books on Amazon. Look up my name, Kiwan Fitch, KIWANFITCH. You can find it through the titles Confessions of a Welfare Mom and Confessions of a Domestic Violence Survivor. And you can go, you can email me, KawanFitch@gmail.com, and I will see that you get one. But if you order it from Amazon, hit me up so I can sign it for you.
Okay. What's the price?
I think they're
$14.99
and under.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yes. Okay. Oh, I can't.
But they
you can print it out.
I know, right? You want to go print it? I sign a piece of paper. but you can do a Kindle version, I believe, and the iPad one. It's in the iStore and all that.
Okay.
You can find it.
Okay, that's cool. I love people that are entrepreneurs and got businesses and books and doing their thing. It's like it takes a lot of. You know, you got to be really brave to get out there and go out in faith and do what we do. So, you know, shout out to you. Shout out to everybody that's out there hustling, trying to get their own. And, you know, 9-to-5s are great, but, you know, there's nothing like having your own, being your own boss and calling the shots. So, yeah, it is. It's a hustle. And I was talking to my pastor at church. And, you know, word's getting out about the radio show. And he was like, yeah, I saw you in the newspaper and all this other stuff. And I was just telling him, I never 2 years ago would have thought that I would be even interested in doing a radio show like me. Like, I don't even like to talk. I hate talking. You looking at me, you give me the – I hate talking. I am a super, super shy person. I mean, y'all never
don't
see it. I'm very, very, very shocked.
Sometimes the microphone makes you comfortable.
I guess so.
The microphone will make you comfortable. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I'm going to be nervous up until I get up here.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
I'm nervous until I get in front of the crowd. Once I get in front of the crowd, I'm good. But up until then, you know, there's a little unsettling in my spirit. But as soon as I get up there, God just gives me his peace that I can do what I'm supposed to do. And I can give to who I need to.
All right. That's good. That'll work. Well, definitely. Thank you for coming on House of Harley Talk Radio. And good luck for everything for the next couple of days at your conference. And that is the Finding Hope in the Struggle 2015 conference. You find it on Eventbrite. But I'm just reading it off here what I have in front of me. April 9th and 10th, 2015, 8:30 a.m. to 2:45 at the First Choice Community Center, that's 3315 Broad River Road, Suite 60, Columbia, South Carolina. So, you know, if you're out of town, fly in, come to it, support it. And House of Harley Talk Radio is broadcasted all across the world. So, what you got, Arisha? You got any like albums coming out or singles coming out or anything?
No, I do not. But there is a show on Sunday at Mint Lounge. Doors open at 7.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Is for Freestyle Sunday. I will be featured. Also, a group that I used to sing with about 10 years ago called Herd, which is comprised of Joe Tucker, Aaron Green, Andrea, and her Boutte, calls herself Creole Divine, and Cassie Renee. She will be opening up. It's hosted by Chadwick Presley and a poet, Jeffrey Guillaume. I hope I'm saying his name right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a great show. So.
Okay.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be great.
Is your mic even on?
And Melody Williams will be singing one song that evening. So y'all come out and hear Melody sing.
That will
sing.
Be a special treat.
It's gonna, she's actually singing on mute, but her lips will be moving. I don't like you.
Anyway, N-T-way, I feel like faint right now. I just got dizzy.
Don't you have the Dream Big Award?
Yes, Deanna, can you talk about that, please? Can you stop being all shy over there, incognito? Which mic is that? Let me see.
Since I'm forced to do an interview and give information tonight and did not plan to, I buy out the land, so it was not the intent. Yes, on April the 25th, the Dream Big Luncheon is, the Booker Agency does an annual networking event, and this is our annual event. this year we are giving 4 awards, Dream Chasers in Business, in Ministry, in Public Service, in Arts and Culture. And we're looking forward to having a speaker that's going to share with us. This young lady is a phenomenal singer, Chantel Lucas, and she was in a really bad car accident, was in a coma for a few weeks, and had to have a trach put in, but her dream has been to pursue her love for music, and she's still pursuing that. So she's our keynote speaker that's going to share her story of dreaming big and chasing her dream. So we're excited to have the opportunity to network with the big dreamers in the Midlands, those that have great plans and aspirations to either grow, start a business,
like
or just
Harley.
Overcome personal barriers in their life.
Like House of Harley.
And we're going to give some awards out. Kevin Raspberry, look at you.
That's my big brother.
Kevin Raspberry is the Dream Chaser in Public Service, so he is one of the awardees.
Okay, that's cool. We'll be looking out for that next year. Remember these faces. Okay. Well, we're looking to hopefully, and we can talk off channel, but I know we're talking about hopefully broadcasting. Yeah, and we broadcast the whole deal right there. Now, doesn't that sound nice? Isn't that beautiful? Ain't that beautiful? Right. You know, opportunity come, my ears go up, all the way up. So, but anyway, thank you all. Thank you for listening to House of Harley Talk Radio. Definitely look out for us. And this show is an archive show. So if you missed it, and yeah, you can check it out afterwards. And you can listen to any of the shows that we've had over the past couple of years. So definitely check us out. I'm trying to think about what we have going on. We got the Heels and Bow Ties events. Bow Ties and Heels event coming up. We will be there. It's hosted by Etosh. What's her name? McFarlane. Huh? No, Bow Ties and Heels is at night. So, yeah. So we're working all that out. Yeah, the 18th of April in Columbia, South Carolina is going to be crazy. It's going to House of Harley is going to be at everything. And so, but definitely look out for us there because we're going to be broadcasting live at her event. As everything's going on and going down, we will be there. Also on April 12th and 14th, House of Harley Talk Radio will be broadcasting live at the speed dating event. I don't have the details sitting right in front of me, so I don't want to sit up there and do dead space stuff. But we'll be posting that on the House of Harley page. If you want to like us on Facebook, you go to House of Harley Talk Radio. No, I'm sorry. We go to Facebook, and you can like us and just type in House of Harley Talk Radio. You should come up, and you'll see, like, my big head logo, because I do have a big head. But give us a like. And that's how you can stay in contact with everything that we have going on. So, once again, thank you for listening to House of Harley Talk Radio. And we'll be looking out for you. And y'all police officers, like I said, seriously, if you're fearful, go work at Krispy Kreme. You hear me? Stop killing these innocent, unarmed black men that run like Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? So, once again, y'all out there, y'all keep it live. Y'all keep going. Keep listening to House of Harley Talk Radio. House of Harley Talk Radio, let's go.
Come on, man. And with the local DVD news, L.L. Cool J with the Toyota and comeback. But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, exploding. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics, that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better
upstairs and take out that garbage.
House of Harley Talk Radio. House of Harley Talk Radio.